Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Coley. Welcome to the SVU Coven podcast, Little Witch Detectives.
Hi.
Hi.
Am I echoing?
No.
Are you echoing?
I don't hear it.
Sweet. Oh my goodness. I think this is just how we're going to have to record from now on.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We've got a bit of a hefty intro today, so should we just jump into things?
We should.
Okay, cool. So, this is the Witch Talk. It's the corner of the intro of our show where we catch you guys up on what we've been doing. We always laugh a little bit, or I do at least, that this is a little redundant because Coley and I talk every day. But we want to catch you guys up on what's been going on in our lives. What has been going on in my life? Well, mostly just been working. I feel like Coley and I have been working our asses off lately.
Yeah.
My brother started a new job, and he's working at a hospital now, and I get to go visit him for lunch.
Ooh.
And the reason I'm saying it is because I'm going to meet him for lunch today, and it's nacho day.
Nice.
And I'm so stoked.
I was just watching a video with Babish, of Binging with Babish, about how he makes his perfect nacho plate.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny that it's nacho day where you're going for lunch.
Of course. Just universe things.
Yeah.
You should send me that later.
I will.
I'm trying to think. I had something prepared to say, and now, of course, I've forgotten it. I'm going to Indiana in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
super fun for like a weekend. My friend Sassy lives over there, and I'm visiting her for her birthday. So that should be fun. And other than that, just working. Still dating that boy.
Yay!
He's good. Like him a lot. Heck, I had something. What's something newsworthy that happened to me recently?
I don't know either.
My cat is talking to ghosts and my rabbit is chewing holes in my couch, so just the usual around here. What's going on with you?
Well, last weekend I presented at a Sexual Assault Awareness Month kickoff expo with the Facebook group I moderate for, which is called SAN, Sexual Assault Advocacy Network. And it turned out really well. I stumbled through my presentation, but once it was done, the shoulder pain that I had been battling for 2 days went away. So,
yeah, that's so good. I loved what you said about that, when I asked you about your shoulder pain and you were like, it's anxiety manifesting itself physically.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that happens to me too, and I never had thought about it like that.
Yeah. Other than that, just work and,
Yeah. Hey, but we can't complain because we have work now.
Exactly.
Woohoo!
So exciting.
I drag Coley. Every time I get a new job, I'm like, Coley, you want to come work with me?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Every time. Oh, man. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, shall we
continue?
Mm-hmm.
So, we haven't announced the giveaway winner on Instagram yet because we wanted to announce it on the podcast first. And it should be winners, because there's two.
Right.
I think we decided on Sabrina and Anna, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them's my girls. Sabrina, if you're familiar with SVU Coven, she's done a couple of things in our show before. I think she wrote a spell for us in one of our episodes.
She did.
Yeah. So, also an incredible wedding photographer. So, follow Sabrina Fattel Photo if you need wedding photos done. She travels. And then Anna's my cousin.
Yay!
I don't know how much I can talk about Anna on the show because she's just a normal kid. So, but I will reach out to you guys if you're listening to this. If you're not listening to this, I'm going to reach out to the winners either way. And thank you guys so much for entering the giveaway.
Yes.
If we do giveaways in the future, it'll be kind of the same thing over on our Instagram is where we had it this time. So
yeah,
look out for that. Oh, goodness. All right. So it is, what day is it that we're recording right now? Is it
April 2nd?
So we are officially in April. You guys will be listening to this on April 3rd. Sexual Assault Awareness Month, or SAM, as it's sometimes affectionately known. And actually, the day after on April 4th is Sexual Assault Awareness Month Day of Action. So there's lots of things you can actually do for this. Maybe I will send Coley like some information to put in the episode notes.
Yeah.
But when I used to work at a domestic violence shelter, and I also volunteered at a rape crisis center for a very, very long time. And we used to do all of these like SAM related events. And it's really cool because on April 4th, there's a lot of ways you can get involved no matter what community you're in across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I will put some information out about that. I might repost some graphics over on our Instagram as well. But I just wanted to bring attention to that because it wouldn't be SVU Coven if we didn't talk about these topics.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to get involved or learn more information, we will post some stuff about that.
Okie dokie. That's exciting.
I know, it is exciting, and I think it's a cool thing that we're having these conversations now so openly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
We originally wanted to have the SAN Expo in April because it's Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like, wait a minute. We're all advocates. April is the busiest month of the year for advocates.
Yeah.
So why don't we have it in March, the weekend before April starts, as a kickoff?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that also, like, if we're able to, like, go back and watch it and stuff, can be something that is a part of April, you know?
Yeah.
So, also, we can link the Instagram for them as well.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So moving on, we have merch coming soon.
Yay!
I just have to update a couple designs and then we can make it live. And we will put the link to our fourth wall shop, in our
link tree, probably.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I will make sure we post about it when everything's live, but I also kind of want to play with some designs and everything, but we officially got approved. And funny enough, my friend Sassy, who I was talking about earlier, she is a Twitch streamer, Miss Sassy Kit on Twitch, and she uses Fourth Wall, which is how I found them, and I'm wearing my hoodie of hers that I love so much. It's so freaking comfortable, and it's cropped, and you know I love a cropped moment.
Yes.
And it's green, which is my favorite color. So I love Fourth Wall, and I'm so excited to start working with them. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. It's so cute. I can't wait to be walking around in my SVU Coven hoodie.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Oh, man. All right.
What just happened?
Huh?
Oh, no.
What? Can you hear me? Here we go again.
Okay. I didn't hear any of that.
You can hear me now, though?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, we've got to clip that for our mini-sode.
Yeah.
So, I said the next thing we're talking about is a funny ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you guys probably know, Trump got indicted this week.
Yeah.
But it happened in Manhattan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yes. And so I saw this really funny tweet, and it was like, because the indictment involved a Manhattan DA and sex workers, technically this indictment is part of the SVU universe.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more to that. I just put it in the notes because it cracks me up.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I don't know why. And I wish that Richard Belzer was around to see it.
I know.
Oh,
he would have loved it.
Loved it.
So I have Google Alerts on for SVU and Mariska Hargitay. And I kept getting articles popping up in my emails about what Ice-T taught Mariska. Or he taught Mariska one thing, and it's this. And so I clicked on it. He actually taught Mariska that it's okay to say no. Because she's so giving and she's so wanting to appease everybody. She's a people pleaser.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, makes sense for her. But he taught her to say no, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I love that for them.
Yeah, me too.
Their friendship is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mariska's friends, you like that segue?
Mm-hmm. Best segue ever.
Brooke Shields' documentary premiered last night.
No, premiered Wednesday.
Wednesday.
In New York.
Yeah, and Mariska was there.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I bring it up is because, if you guys didn't know, Coley and I are fans of Brooke Shields.
Yes.
And she's also been on SVU.
Yes.
So we're super excited to watch the documentary. I have been following Brooke Shields' career since I was very young, not because of any particular thing that she's been in, just because I find her story very fascinating, because she's up there with like the Marilyn Monroe type icon energy.
Yeah.
But what, and we've probably talked about this on the show, but Natalia Taylor has a great video about it. I've sent it to Coley before.
Yeah.
There's so much that happened in Brooke Shields' childhood where she was so sexualized and the world just ignored it. And I think,
yeah.
As she's been older, she's done like the inner child work to actually go back and think about what effect that had on her and impact on her life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it started when she was a teenager, Blue Lagoon days, and
it started even before that with, yeah, Pretty Baby.
Yeah. So I just, Brooke Shields is definitely a survivor. She's beautiful, an incredible human being.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to support her documentary.
Me too. It comes out on Hulu today, I guess, when you guys are listening to this. It comes out on Hulu on April 3rd.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. But yeah, so it comes out on April 3rd. I think Coley and I were going to try to watch it together.
Yeah.
So I don't know when, but yes. And keep an eye out for that. Support our girl. She deserves it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, next thing. Diane Neal is officially an Israeli citizen.
I don't know why, but I'm just so excited for her.
Yeah.
And I wish Bells was around to see this too.
Oh, he would love it.
Yeah.
They it were so homies. Much.
Yeah.
So Nefesh B'Nefesh, I don't know how to say it. It's Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Is a nonprofit organization that helps people from the US and Canada immigrate to Israel. And Instagram post of Diane Neal with a sign that says hashtag officially Israeli in it, holding an Israeli flag, and something else, but I can't really see what it is. But it says, Mazel Tov to Diane Neal, the actress most notable from NBC Law & Order SVU, who recently made Aliyah, which is Hebrew for an immigration to Israel. After reconnecting with her Jewish roots a few years back, Diane decided to take the plunge and leave Hollywood behind to pursue a more meaningful Jewish life in Israel. Now, it's important to note that Diane hasn't come out and said that she's converted to Judaism. So, she could very well still be Mormon. There are Mormon congregations in Israel. There's a Mormon temple in Israel. Yeah.
I'm happy for her.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I just, she wasn't, like, Casey isn't my favorite ADA, but I loved her and Munch together.
Yeah.
So, Diane has a special place in our hearts for sure.
Yes. And I was on her podcast, like, a few months ago, and I completely forgot to mention SVU Coven on the podcast, but
holy.
I know, I'm horrible.
How could you do this? Oh my gosh. Do you have a link to that
episode? Yeah, I have a link to the YouTube video of it.
We should include that somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, are we good to move to the next thing?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So this is just your social media plug of the episode. If you want to connect with us, the best place to do that is over on our Instagram. It's at SVU Coven. We're most active over there. We obviously did our giveaway over there just recently. We post new episodes, updates, all of that fun stuff. So make sure to follow us over there. We also have a Discord server, which I'm really wanting to grow. I say this every episode, but actually my friend Sassy is going to help us beef up the Discord sometime soon so that it'll be more of a community Discord rather than a personal one. Mm-hmm. And that means that we will be able to have events, connect with you guys more one-on-one and things like that. So you definitely want to get in there to see all of that happen. You can join through the link in our Instagram bio, or you can shoot us an email for a Discord link. It's completely free, no obligations, but we would like to grow the community, grow the coven over there. If social media is not really your thing, but you still want to reach out to us, you can always shoot us an email at svucoven@gmail.com. Coley does check the emails, so somebody is reading them and sharing them with me, and one of us will be responding, so don't worry about that. Email is also the best place to reach out to us if you want to sponsor the show, be on the show, or do any kind of business logistics with us. So that's svucoven@gmail.com. You can also email us for a Discord server link if you're not on Instagram. So never fear, there are ways to get in touch with us. But yeah, we would love to hang out with you guys, and we appreciate the energy exchange.
Absolutely. Always, always. So this is your episodic reminder to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and subscribing are the most important. They tell the algorithm that you like us and you listen to us. Reviewing is just really nice because we lost all our reviews when we switched podcast hosts. And last time I checked, we were holding steady at one. Mm-hmm. If you do leave a review, we'll read it on the podcast, good, bad, or indifferent. and
subscribing?
I said that already. Oh, the Spotify thing.
Oh yeah.
So there's this new feature on what used to be Anchor is now Spotify for podcasters. I can't talk today.
Words.
And basically allows us to ask you sorry. Wow. It allows us to ask you questions and you can respond to those questions. Last episode's question was, what's your favorite munch episode? No one responded.
Well, heck.
Which makes me sad because I wanted to read out some responses and share my own favorite.
That's going to be our question again this week. And if you are listening right now, go respond to it.
Yes. It's only on Spotify. So you have to go over to Spotify to answer the question. I really wanted to give my answer to my favorite Munch episode. There's actually two of them, but they're sister episodes. So,
well, why don't you save it for next time?
Because yeah,
when people have answered the question, we can all answer it together.
Yes. Yeah, and we'll read out your answers on the podcast, whatever they may be. And we appreciate the energy exchange.
Yes, we do. The last thing I want to say before we jump into things is this is our last episode of season 2.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it when I went to do the notes this morning. And then I was like, oh my gosh, season 2. Because we're pretty much sticking with SVU here. So that means our season, the next episode is going to be the first episode of season 3.
Yeah.
And that said, we've got a lot of fun things coming.
Yes, we do.
So I just wanted to take a moment, take the time today to acknowledge that that's pretty fucking cool.
That is really cool.
Because that means it's the last episode of season 2 of The Coven.
Yes. And it's also the last episode with the really bad Olivia hair.
Yes, thank God. Can we get away from this Olivia hair? Goodness.
The hair that almost got Mariska fired.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So how are we doing the self-love affirmation? Because it has my name after it. So am I reading it or are you reading it?
I thought maybe that you would like to do it because you gave me this one.
Okay.
But I did want to point out that I like this affirmation a lot, particularly because of the Brooke Shields documentary coming out.
I didn't even think of that when I sent you this one.
Yeah, because but, I was we're going to talk about it. And then, so I did want to say that. But I thought if you were comfortable with it, you might want to read it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the self-love affirmation comes from CoStar. Again, we don't support CoStar in this house. I just have CoStar on my phone for the daily little sayings that they give out every day, and that's the only reason I use it. And it's, you can be strong and still be tender.
I think that's a good Olivia Benson thing too.
That's a good Olivia Benson thing, and that's a really good Brooke Shields thing.
And so I invite you guys to take some deep breaths and remember that strength does not mean you can't also be soft.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of a conversation that we've had before about when people call you strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from a good place, but it doesn't always feel good receiving that.
Yeah.
Because being strong when you have to be is more difficult than you think.
Yeah.
And what I like about this is it's a reminder of, like, you can be strong because of everything you've been through, but you can also be tender because of everything you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And just the tie-in with, like, Brooke and Benson and all is just good.
Yeah.
So remember to breathe. If you're operating heavy machinery, keep breathing, keep your eyes open. But otherwise, take a few deep breaths and repeat this to yourself if it provides you some comfort today.
Yes. I feel like we should dedicate, like, this portion of the episode to Brooke Shields.
Yeah, I like
that. Like, just the intro and the self-love affirmation, not necessarily the whole episode.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, shall we jump into the episode?
Yes, we shall.
Okay, cool. I would just like to preface this with, I hate this episode. It was like a struggle to get through because it's one of the ones I actually just don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. I don't have a particular reason as to why I don't. I'm not crazy about it. But I digress. Season 2, episode 21 of Law & Order SVU. How do I say that word?
Scourge.
Scourge?
Yeah.
I forgot to pull a summary for this episode, so I apologize. But I feel like I should say, if I did pull a summary, it would have been from IMDb. Yeah. So hop over there to see it. Not sponsored, but would love to be.
Yes.
All right. So we open on a husband and wife leaving a play and bickering, you know, as married couples do.
Yes.
The husband seemingly gets pushed by a random guy in a hoodie. You can't see his face. And as the guy runs away, we see the husband turn around and his jacket is covered in blood. They turn around and walk looking down an alley and they see a bunch of trash bags that are on fire, basically.
Yeah.
Elliot and Olivia arrive on the scene. There's no victim ID, and Olivia takes statements from the married couple. She takes the husband's coat for evidence, and I liked that he was like, oh, I've been needing a new one anyway. I just thought it was so cute and, like, clearly, like, a tourist man. Like,
yeah.
Elliot and Olivia do a brief walk and talk here, and then the fire department comes up to them and tells them that the perp put bags of trash over top of the victim and then lit them on fire. Her back is completely charred as a result. I want to put a trigger warning here. There's a lot of sensitive content around the victims in this episode, particularly the words that come out of Melinda's mouth throughout the entire episode.
Yeah.
So Melinda says that the victim's genitals were mutilated. There are burns on 50% of her body, and the burning occurred after death. And then they make some mildly insensitive jokes about being butchered and barbecued.
Yeah.
And then we done.
Dun dun.
Woohoo. Olivia takes more statements, people that have, or from witnesses, they said that the guy was knocking into things and speaking in religious gibberish.
Which is probably speaking in tongues.
Yes. Yeah. I liked the combination of words of religious gibberish.
Yeah.
So Munch and Finn arrive and they begin talking to Elliot. We find out that the perp had gone to a souvenir shop across the way and had been seen walking off with the victim afterwards. The store owner says that the perp was either drunk or high and that he waved a statue at the guy, like, kind of to defend himself. Mm-hmm. Takes the statue and says that it's evidence. The store owner complains that it's $35 plus tax, and Finn turns around and says, send the bill to the mayor. And I just thought that was really funny. It was a good ice one-liner.
Yeah.
Back in the squad room, The detectives go over the case, and Cragen gives orders. Munch and Finn go to, I should back up here. The victim's name is Cassie. I forgot to mention that earlier. And it was clear that she was a prostitute.
Yeah.
So Munch and Finn go to talk to some of the other prostitutes that Cassie might have known, to see if they can give them any information or details. Basically, he says, like, we're here for Cassie. And it's really cute because Munch and Finn bring them, like, donuts and coffee.
Yeah.
And I thought that was nice because they were very non-judgmental. Like, we're just there to do their jobs and nothing more.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. So the girls say that they saw Cassie leave with a guy named Daniel. He had a beard, which is something that comes up throughout this episode over and over and over.
Yeah.
He had a beard. His eyes were crazy, as they say. They told her that they had a bad feeling about him, but Cassie basically didn't seem to care about that. Elliot and Olivia go to talk to Melinda about Cassie's body. We find out that she had 42 stab wounds, a cut to the throat, and an incision down her torso. The joke here is that the killer likes knives. Important to note, just because I want to, we do not kink shame.
No.
So that's not what is happening here. But important to note that this killer does use a knife.
Yeah.
Cragen says that the lab got a DNA hit in the sex offender registry. He works with a contractor, and he does, in fact, have a beard. Elliot and Olivia go to... It just keeps coming up, and it annoys me so much. Elliot and Olivia go to the construction site that Norman works at. Finn and Munch are on standby. Norman runs, and they give chase. Elliot and Olivia do catch up to him, and they arrest him for murder. Norman, in interrogation, says that he just had sex with Cassie, nothing more. He claims that he was home by 2:30 a.m., and he took various routes to get home, which I just thought was interesting that they added that tidbit of, like, he had to take a bus and the subway and get to his car and then get home. That kind of thing. But he maintains that he just had consensual sex with Cassie. Elliot and Olivia get called out of interrogation by Cragen, who tells them that another victim had been murdered the night before. Same MO kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot and Olivia go to the crime scene, and the perp did a real number on this particular victim, worse than the one before, but with the same knife. And this is where they draw this link with Jack the Ripper. So Elliot says he thinks he's Jack the Ripper, and then the scene cuts. And I just think that's interesting, because that's a theme they could have played more into, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they just didn't. So they make a couple references to Jack the Ripper, but they don't lean heavily into it. So I find that fascinating for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think this episode was based off of Jack the Ripper because I've read a few books about, like, the true crimes behind SVU or something like that. I've read a few books about it, and I think this one was based off of Jack the Ripper. But again, they have to change the story a little bit so it's not completely and totally the same story.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I would have rather them leaned into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just because my favorite true crime is definitely serial killers, and Jack the Ripper is someone I've studied very much. Study very much, and my favorite band, The Used, they even have a song called The Ripper. And less on the beard thing.
Yeah.
But I get what they're trying to do from a religious aspect as we go through this episode, and particularly with Elliot, but I just think they could have leaned into it a little more than they did.
Yeah, definitely.
But we were just talking about this the other day because I was watching that R. Kelly documentary on Netflix, and not sponsored. And I was texting Coley about it, and I was like, have we had an R. Kelly episode of SVU? Because I don't think we have.
No, we haven't.
But the closest one is the Chris Brown episode.
Yeah.
So.
And you were saying, but I don't get it because Rihanna's still here.
Yeah, I was like, she's not big dead. And Coley was like, well, they have to change the story a little.
Yeah.
I was like, Rihanna's fine. If not thriving.
Yeah, seriously.
So, anyway, I digress. So, Alex fusses at Cragen because no one really had notified her about this case, so she was looking kind of dumbfounded in front of her colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out the second victim is Teresa Folsom. According to Munch is going to talk to her roommate. He brings her some coffee, and him and Finn talk to her. And her roommate says that they had gone to a club the night before, but Teresa was tired, so they had put her in a cab, and she had gone. She had left Teresa to spend the night at her boyfriend's house. Munch asks, very politely, I might add, if Teresa might have been a prostitute or an escort. The roommate says no, and that Teresa had a boyfriend that lived in Boston. Finn says Teresa has no priors or any criminal history, not even a parking ticket. Can you imagine? And the squad tells Cragen the details of the case so far. Munch says that Norman can't be the guy because there's no blood match to the crime scene. Cragen gives orders and puts in a call to our good friend, Dr. Huang. This is our second episode with Huang, I think.
Yeah, because Peak was the first.
Yeah, my baby. He's such a baby in this episode. Huang comes in and attempts to profile the murderer. Munch gives the royal family conspiracy theories. I love it so much. Cragen gives him a hard time for this. It's a cute little scene. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Huang says the guy is a wannabe, pulls in the religious angle here. He says that we are looking for someone who is mentally ill, has no job, lives alone, most likely has hallucinations and hears voices, and is incredibly unpredictable. Something I want to note here is that Huang does not immediately jump to schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, later on in the episode, you will see why he doesn't jump to schizophrenia. But I think I just liked that detail that they would include that, because I think real criminal profilers and psychologists would act that way. But often in TV, we see people jump straight to schizophrenia.
Yeah.
So I liked that tidbit anyway. Alex comes in and says that we need to catch the guy as soon as possible, obviously, because this case has hit the press and already they are reporting him and calling him as the Night Ripper. So that's the second Jack the Ripper reference.
Yeah.
Elliot wants to release the sketch of the guy from the sketch artist, but Huang pushes back on this and says that the publicity will excite him even more, which would be the case with typical serial killers, especially religious ones.
Yes.
However, this case is a little different. Cragen gives orders to go find the 12 suspects that they have at this point in time. Elliot and Olivia go to investigate the cab driver's car logs to try to get more witness statements. And Elliot identifies a driver that fits what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to talk to said cab driver. And he says he was not actually the one driving that night. And occasionally he lets his cousin drive as him so that he can make some money to support his family. They talk to the cousin. And he says that he saw a guy with a beard, medium height, and crazy eyes. He paid with a bloody $20 bill. CSU goes to look over the cab. There's lots of blood. And while they're there looking, we found out the guy has struck again.
Yes.
But now, for a break.
Time for the spell break. So, April 3rd, Monday. Color of the day is gray. Incense of the day is clary sage. And this is a blessing upon an annoying task. Whether we are heading to work, it is Monday after all, or have a really frustrating chore that must be done, most of us have tasks or projects that we are less than enthusiastic to complete. When faced with such situations, I like to use a little blessing magic to help smooth out the unpleasantness and speed up the process of completing the task at hand. For this blessing, when possible, take a minute to close your eyes and envision yourself happily completing the work with ease, speed, and efficiency. Imagine everything falling perfectly into place and the dread and annoyance fading away and being replaced by satisfaction. When the feeling is strong, open your eyes and say, with a fresh new perspective, I greet this task. In magical advantage, I now bask. Completed with ease, efficient and fun, no longer a tour, the battle is won. And that's by Michael Fury.
You know what I love about this in particular?
Hmm.
After we are done recording today, I keep telling myself that I have to do my taxes.
Yeah.
I keep putting them off. And it's funny that you said that because in my brain I was like, oh, I can, I don't have to do them. But I feel like the universe was like, hey, Katie, go do your taxes.
I have to do my taxes, too. I keep putting them off because I know I'm going to owe money, and I don't have any.
The struggle with freelancing, and I'm already on a payment plan with the IRS for my taxes last year, and so I was just like, ugh, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Sigh. But anyway, I really loved that.
Yeah, me too.
And thank you.
Of course.
All right, now back to our program. Did I just hear Gabby in the background?
Probably. She was barking, so.
Munch and Finn go to an arcade and look wildly out of place. And the perpetrator had been there and stabbed a guy that worked there. Olivia asks about a second victim, and Cragen says technically there were almost three victims, counting the guy that had been stabbed. A husband and a 9-year-old son were killed, and the wife is standing there. Her name is Jean. She's very disoriented, and I think honestly in shock because she keeps saying she needs to go home, like they need to go home.
Yeah.
There's blood all over the bathroom walls, and Melinda is already on the scene. Why is this woman everywhere?
She's magic.
Melinda's just everywhere ahead of everybody else.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
Literally. She just, it's so funny because, like, once Melinda is a regular on the show, you will discover that no matter what, in any given situation, she is at the crime scene before everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why is she always there?
I think that's their job, though.
It's
to be there before anybody
else. It's just so funny because I'm like, does she not run into traffic? Is she not asleep? Is she, like, when does Melinda rest?
She doesn't rest.
She doesn't. But we find out that the same murder weapon, so the same knife, was used on the husband and the child. So, essentially, this puts us at four victims within 24 hours. And we have a serial killer with no profile because he strikes at random.
Mm-hmm.
Cragen essentially assembles a task force type team and gives orders for canvassing. Cragen asks John to talk to Melinda, and then he benches Stabler, which you can tell Elliot is actually aggravated about at first, but Cragen saves it by saying that he needs someone to stay in and do the calls that he trusts can field the calls well, but also no one pays attention to the details like Elliot. It's very, like, dad patting him on the back interaction.
Yeah.
But
it's a way of him benching Stabler because of the whole religious aspect, without him benching Stabler because of the whole religious aspect.
Yes, and if you know anything about Elliot, you'll know that he had a tough relationship with his father, and Cragen kind of became a surrogate dad in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love these little interactions, because it's very, like, Cragen protecting Elliot and protecting the case, but in a way that's like, good job!
Yeah.
And you just see Elliot, who's this very masculine, like, guy, being like, okay. I can do it. It's fine.
It reminds me of later seasons when Olivia tells Amanda to do something, and she's like, this is like when my mom told me to mop the floors because I'm the only one who can do it the right way.
Yeah. Oh, my babies.
Yes.
So, Jean, the wife of the husband and son that had been murdered, comes in to talk to Elliot, and she's again saying how she needs to get home. They're selling their house. She's got to get home next week. He asks her if there's anyone in New York she can stay with, and she basically says no and starts to cry. But Elliot gets a phone call at this time, so he sends her with another detective. And when he answers the phone, it's Kathy. And he says that it's good to hear her voice. And you can tell that this case is really taking a toll on him.
Yeah.
And you know, not the biggest fan of Elliot or Chris Maloney, but this, I do love a Stabler family, like, soft moment like that.
Yeah.
And
we love Kathy. Even a mention of Kathy.
Even a mention of Kathy makes the day better.
Yes.
We find out that the blood is the same type at the first two crime scenes. John mentions his 7 years in homicide here. And it made me cry a little, because I just miss Belzer so much.
Yeah.
The perp evidently wore the same clothing when he killed all four victims, is what Melinda had to say. Cragen says to forget the canvassing because something is going down in the park. This random guy got the crap kicked out of him because they thought that he was the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
Mob mentality, riot mentality, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Finn shows the sketch and says, clearly it's not the guy. And you want to know why it's not the guy? Because he's bald with no beard. Here we go again with the fucking beard thing. Mob mentality, mass hysteria, that kind of thing. When they get back, Elliot makes fun of them for having riot duty, that kind of whole thing. I don't want to get into a conversation about that because it's very topical right now politically.
Yeah.
And it just feels like a lot to get into, so I'm not going to. But if you guys would like to talk about it, let us know.
Yeah.
Elliot says that he's fielded 500 calls since 11 a.m. that day. He sends the squad to the crib to sleep, but Olivia doesn't go and offers to help because she says she's too pissed off to go to sleep, which I love.
Yeah. Elliot
gets a little snippy with Olivia, and he says, this is an Elliot line that has stuck with me since the first time I've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks at Olivia and says, I spend more time with you than I do with my own family. No offense. And she looks very offended.
Yeah.
Elliot and Olivia go to a bodega, and the store owner there looks through his checks. The reason they go there is because they found something in the call logs they were looking for about a bloody check. There's blood on the check he pulls, and they read that it's a check that belonged to Paula Varney. So they go to talk to her, and she says she had given that check to her husband. She said that she had seen him about 2 days ago. They are separated due to Daniel's mental problems. And she says that about 3 years ago, he just started losing it. They are still technically married so that Daniel can have her medical insurance to get help, though he has never done it. Paula says that he lives at a church now, and he's the janitor there. Elliot and Olivia go to the church, and Munch and Finn are on the way. Daniel is there mopping the floor. when he sees the detectives, he asks who they are, and when they say they are cops, he starts to have a breakdown, repeating religious things about cleansing people, assuming to be about the ones that he had killed. Elliot and Olivia surround him for their safety, and what I love here is the writers and whoever put this episode together really nailed exactly how two detectives would handle this situation. So they are kind of surrounding him, but keeping their distance. They both have their hands on their weapons. And while Olivia talks to him, Elliot is able to get around him so that Elliot's behind him.
And Olivia's not just talking to him. She's praying with him.
Yeah.
She's saying the Our Father, which is important to know, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Especially because we don't see Olivia religious in the early seasons.
Yeah, it's more of an Elliot thing.
Yeah.
And Daniel screams, "Don't judge me," which I also think is important for the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Elliot then grabs him from behind. Olivia kicks the knife out of Daniel's hand, and they arrest him for murder. The press is all over this case, and Elliot and Olivia have to push them back to basically perp walk Daniel. In the interview room, Olivia enters and Daniel is praying. It's clear he forgot who Olivia was already, and he says that he was following orders from God sent through his messenger. An angel came to him and gave him the orders. He asks Olivia why she didn't kill him when she had the opportunity to, and she says that she didn't want to hurt him. And he asks Olivia to kill him because he cannot stand this pain anymore.
Yeah.
Alex says to put Daniel on suicide watch. Munch and Finn are at the lab with bloody clothes that they found. Alex basically says to get all the reports done because they want to take him to court. Alex brings Daniel to court. Daniel asks if the judge is God. And what's this judge's name, Coley? It's the one we like.
Is it Petrovsky or is it Peterson?
It's got to be one of those.
Does she have curly hair?
No.
Then it's Petrovsky.
Okay. So Daniel asks if the judge is God, and she says, "Just an overworked judge." And in the notes, I wrote, LMAO, same thing? They plead not guilty because of mental disease, which I actually think is what they should have done.
Yeah.
Alex asks for remand, and Daniel punches his lawyer and then says he can't be judged by anyone who isn't God.
I think his exact words were, "How can you judge me if you're not God?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel's wife asks Alex please to not kill him. Alex basically apologizes and said she's following the law and there's nothing really she can do. Because the next step of her job would be to ask for the death penalty.
Yeah.
Cut to after Alex walks away, you just see Daniel's wife standing there, like, crying silently to herself. And it's such a powerful scene because she's just in this huge crowd of people and she's crying quietly.
Yeah.
So from here, we cut to the lawyers chatting. Alex says she is seeking the death penalty. Daniel's lawyer defends him, says he's not competent to stand trial. Wong talks to Daniel, and it's clear that his memory is not quite right. He starts talking about what God says to him. Wong debates him, kind of challenging him, because this will help Wong learn more about him. Daniel believes he is cleansing the victims, but he has to save them. And so cleansing is killing them, et cetera, et cetera. And he says that he didn't want to kill them.
Yeah.
Wong confronts Alex. She says the DA signed the death penalty papers already. Wong says that Daniel is not competent for trial. He doesn't fit any kind of serial killer profile. The loss of memory suggests that he has dementia or a brain tumor. something like that. Alex says the public wants justice and she has to do what she has to do. Wong says to do a complete medical workup.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia goes to see Daniel's family. Olivia says earlier this year she lost her mother. And I just put in here, Serena Benson deserves the world.
Yes.
Because she does.
There could have been so much more done with Serena's character if they didn't kill her off. I get that she was an alcoholic and she was terrible to Olivia in her childhood. But there's so much more that could have been done. They could have shown her getting sober. They could have shown her repairing her relationship with Olivia. They could have shown her slipping back and ruining everything.
Yeah.
But there's just so much more that could have been done. They didn't have to kill her off after one scene with Olivia.
Right? Agree. So, Serena Benson deserves the world.
Yeah.
Daniel's wife says that he was always incredibly gentle and kind, and then he just randomly started to change. One night, she found Daniel standing in his daughter's room holding a knife and crying, saying that he wanted to spare them the pain. Olivia asks for her trust. Cut to, Wong found out Daniel has syphilis, and it's so far through it that there's no chance he will ever recover. It's essentially destroying his brain.
Take this as the lesson, kids. Get tested for STIs.
Yeah, for real. Olivia tells Daniel's wife about the diagnosis. His case is so advanced that he probably got it before they had even met. He applied for life insurance while they were married and he was never approved and never asked why. Olivia says to request those records because essentially he could have been denied the life insurance because of the syphilis that he didn't know that he had. And when you are denied life insurance, it is within your rights to request to find out why.
Yeah.
Daniel's wife goes in to talk to him and she said, I've just wrote wife as her name throughout this entire thing. I don't know why.
Do we know her name?
Yes. And I just can't remember what it is. I wrote it earlier in the notes and then I just, you know.
Yeah.
But Daniel's wife talks to him and she says that his daughters miss him. He says it hurts so much and that he's sorry. Olivia shuts the door and lets them have a moment. All Atlantic Life is the name of the insurance company. And they knew that Daniel had syphilis and they never informed him. And it was not reported to the health department. So essentially, all of this could have been avoided if the life insurance company had done their job and reported it to the health department. They are not required to report it to Daniel, but they are required to report it to the health department.
Yep. And then he could have gotten, what did Wong say, $1.50 dose of penicillin?
Yep. And it would have cured him and no one ever would have been murdered.
Yep.
This is a particular thing that is important to me because I've had family members die for similar situations.
Mm-hmm.
So it does kind of enrage me like it enraged Olivia. Elliot and Olivia go from here to arrest Malcolm Hunt for reckless endangerment. He works for the life insurance company, and he did not report it to the health department. They have a warrant. Alex talks to Hunt and his lawyer. They say it's the applicant's responsibility to ask why they were rejected. However, Alex points out that they still have to notify the health department, which would have notified Daniel that he had syphilis.
Yes.
She wants them to settle with Daniel's family when Daniel's family decides to sue.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to they're in court now. Alex does not contest the findings. And the judge rules that Daniel is not competent for trial and is remanded to a mental health facility until he is fit to stand trial, which Olivia points out is never. However, this is the best case scenario for Daniel because he can get the care he needs.
Yeah.
And so I think it's best case scenario, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, while everyone is kind of secretly celebrating, Elliot locks eyes with Jean, who was the woman whose husband and child were killed by Daniel. And she's crying in such a way that creates this like bone-chilling moment. And you can tell that these are two very quality actors because they're saying a lot without saying anything.
Yeah.
But while you're watching this, you almost want Daniel, like you're sympathetic to Daniel's condition, right? Mm-hmm. And then you realize, man, he killed a 9-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And a dad. And now Jean has to live the rest of her life because of this. And so I think it's important to remember this dichotomy of, even though you can be sympathetic towards Daniel, he still took people's lives away.
Yeah.
Which is just the damn good writing of SVU.
Yes.
And then we Dick Wolf.
We Dick Wolf.
Wow. What a concept.
Yes.
I have no hate towards this episode, but I also just don't like this episode.
It's funny because at the beginning of the episode, you said you hate this episode.
Well, I meant, like, I have no hate towards the writers of this episode, and I think it's good writing, but I hate this episode as a viewer. Like, I just don't kick it to watch it. And it's not even that it makes me uncomfortable. It just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't grip me. But, alas.
Got it. So, while Katie is shuffling her tarot cards, this is another episodic reminder to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and subscribing are the most important things. Are you okay?
Me?
Yes.
Yes?
It just sounded like something fell.
Oh, I was just moving my cards around.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
I thought something fell and I was like, oh my god. Anyway, rating and subscribing are the most important things because they tell the algorithm that you're listening to us and that you like us. And reviewing is just really nice because we lost all our reviews and we switched podcast hosts. We will read out your reviews on the show if you leave a review, good, bad, or indifferent. And Spotify has this new thing where you can answer questions if you want. That we ask you and we'll read out the answers on the show. We appreciate the energy exchange.
Yes, we do. Okay, so I was shuffling the cards and one of them almost was a jumper, like started to flip out. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pull that one. Like something instinctively was like, pull that one. So I pulled the Hermit, which I think is a beautiful card for this episode because it sounds negative when you hear the word hermit.
Yeah.
But something I say to my boyfriend all the time is I understand that his social barometer is not the same as mine and he needs a lot more time to rest and recuperate. And I always call it him going into hermit mode. Mm-hmm. Because I think of this as a reminder to take time for yourself. Take time to rest. And if you're like me, you probably have a hard time doing that because you feel like you need to be productive throughout the day. And whenever I pull the Hermit, it's always like, hey, remember that you're a human being and life can be really hard on us as people. And even if it isn't, even if you're just like having a basic work week or whatever, take time for yourself. Take time to relax, to wind down, to breathe out a little bit, to recharge, those things like that. Because when you honor yourself and your body and your mental state, good things come to you a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Because you're taking the time to tell the universe, hey, I've got to rest for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So go hermit mode, as I would say. to my boyfriend and take some time for yourself this week, even if that's just a few minutes to close your eyes, take some deep breaths, or maybe it's watching an episode of SVU or listening to a really fun podcast about SVU, you know?
Yeah.
Take some time. Just do your thing, and know that you deserve love and comfort and happiness, even if you're showing it to yourself.
Yes.
All right. So that's our show.
That's our show.
I want to take a quick moment to remind you guys that we are on Instagram at SVU Coven. We also have a Discord server that you can find through the link in our Instagram bio, or you can shoot an email over to svucoven@gmail.com and we will send you the link there. If you're interested in being on the show, have something to talk to us about, want to sponsor the show, or get involved with the coven in any way, the best place to do that is also our email, svucoven@gmail.com.
Yes.
If you are still listening, head over to our Instagram, if it's a medium that speaks to you, and drop your favorite emoji in a comment on our most recent post. I think that's everything.
Yeah.
And we only went 6 minutes over.
We did.
Look at us go. All right. Well, that's our show.
That's our show.
I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Love you, too.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.